A65. Number 19B.
Bill again, huh? Can you see we go always just one step further at a time, huh?
Can I not state this this way, that it impels, life, truth, and love impel soul to be security, and that security is my security?
Yeah, sure. But that's over here already, huh? That's, you know?
Well, you run out of the blackboard.
Yeah. I start then on that side afterwards, huh? Can you see first? What have we done here? Shown the synonymous term. And only when we have established a synonymous term, which could be sufficient when we have the tonality. Sufficient. We don't need ideas of mind, like manifest, or in spirit we had unfoldment. We don't need that if we have the tonality. So we only go to these ideas when we are not quite sure about the tonality, and therefore taking individual ideas. Yeah? The same thing is with the Christ. It's quite enough if I would say life, truth, and love impels soul to be my soul. Soul. That includes everything. That includes is my joy, is my security, my balance, my name. So only... So only when I'm not quite sure what I mean is my soul. I say, what does that mean? Then I take in the ideas of soul. Then you can come. But that would already be, again, the elaboration of it. Are you quite sure where we are? Yes, but
you're saying then my soul, to be my soul, and then manifest as, is that what that other line implies then?
You can do that, yeah. But it's if you want to specify it, All right. Now, we go on. Yes?
Well, I was just thinking if we can go to the Christ, then we can go to Christianity.
Yeah, just take it easy, right. All right. So we can go on in that category first, We said, all right, that's already a terrific insight that I begin to see that life, truth, and love impels mind to be my mind, that life, truth, and love impels spirit, God, to be my spirit or our spirit, capitalized spirit. That life, truth, and love impels soul to be my soul, and so on. Life, truth, and love impels spirit to be my spirit. Life, truth, and love impels principle to be my principle. So it's not there where I say I should have a principle, and I have a principle, so I go to the principle. You see, that's on the level of Christian Science, but it's much higher when I begin to see life, truth, and love impel actually through the law of life, truth, and love, that principle God is my principle. That life, then you come to life, it's always the same, That life, truth, and love impel the divine life to be my life. That life, truth, and love impel truth to be my truth. So it's always at the same tonality. That life, truth, and love impel love to be my love. You have to think about it, and the whole universe opens up what is meant by it. Can you see that the mind of... So what we say actually here in this Christ aspect is that the mind of God is my mind, that the spirit of God is my spirit, that the soul of God is my soul, that the principle of God is my principle, that the life of God is my life, that the truth of God is my truth, and the love of God is my love. It's not God's love alone, it's also my love. That's the Christ. Then, You could go on over there. If you think I have a chance to go over there. From there, you see, we could go on from my mind and say, now, instead of my mind, an idea of mind, or an idea of spirit, or an idea of soul. So you would say, at the point where we had mind there, just to let you know the line where we go on, that life, truth, and love manifests the mind of God as my mind through an idea, as my creative intelligence. Yes? For instance, instead of mind, you can take creative intelligence. I have to see that I don't... Oh, no. Yeah? Again, in three ways. As life, truth, and love, again. Which says, all right, what does it say? Start right out. Life, truth, and love impels mind. Now we go to the Christ to be my. That's the Christ to be my or yours. Instead of mind, my creative intelligence. Truth says in that law that truth impels that creative intelligence to be the true creative intelligence, the right creative intelligence, directed rightly. And love impels my creative intelligence to be perfect, complete, whole, for the beauty of holiness. Whatever you put there in love. Can you see? All right. Now, think. We go to Christianity. Yeah? We put into that same law. It's still the same. Still fundamentally, if you understand the categories, still the same, only that simple law that life, truth, and love impel mind, life, truth, and love impel spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. All what we do afterwards are just the elaboration when we know what is implied with the categories. So I know there is also a category of Christianity. What does Christianity usually do on the level of Christian Science? It's usually that which annihilates the opposite belief. Isn't it? So when I am working in the law of life, truth, and love impelling mind, I can go to Christianity, see, and do what?
Annihilate
mortal mind, say, for instance, in a general way. So it begins to annihilate mortal mind. Yes? How does it do it? Through life, truth, and love. So life says, I impel the divine mind. Two, now we come to Christianity, to annihilate mortal mind. Truth says that truth impels mind to annihilate mortal mind in the right way, at the right time, through the right channel, through the right method, through the right. At the right time, at the right place, everything is right. And love says in that law that love impels mind to annihilate. It's always here, the three again. To annihilate in a perfect, complete way. See? So, again I say, that life impels mind to annihilate mortal mind. Truth impels mind, to annihilate mortal mind in the right way, at the proper way, and life or love annihilates mind. Love impels mind to annihilate mortal mind in a complete way. Isn't that? That's all in there. Huh? It's always the same thing. And so we can take spirit. What did it take in spirit? We had started out with spirit, with unfoldment. Huh? We did take the first one, that life, truth, and love impels spirit, the unfoldment of spirit. If we go on with spirit in Christianity, we could say what? It annihilates. Well, the belief that matter can unfold. Huh? So life impels spirit to annihilate the belief that matter in life, that matter unfolds. Truth impels spirit to annihilate the belief that matter is a true unfoldment, is a true evolution. That's truth. And love impels spirit to annihilate the belief in an unfoldment of matter that has a teleological aim, that has a great aim. It destroys or annihilates, actually, as love, really, the whole of evolution, of material evolution, or the evolution theory. Yes. Okay. Now, so you could go on with soul. See, would always be the same thing, that there is a, that the impelling law of life, truth, and love impels soul. Impels soul. In Christianity, it impels soul to annihilate sin. So life impels the annihilation of sin. Truth impels soul, really, to annihilate the wrong, or the false sense called sin. And love annihilates, really, sin at the point that it believes that sin has a fulfillment. Something like that, you see. A complete, you rob sin through life, truth, and love of its claims. And so on. Now, Dick comes along. He already had it in his mind. He says, but there is also a science sense. So we can see the world in its science sense. Now, I have to climb up here again. So science. What does science usually tell us? Science usually is telling us the factual sense, the sense of reality, when science is used in the world. Like in the world of science, in the fourth chapter, it's showing us always what is and what is not. For the first time after three chapters, Mrs. Eddy shows what is and what is not, what is scientific and what is not scientific. And therefore, here again, we get in into the word sense, a touch of the science sense, namely to show what is and what is not. That's here the science sense. So, what do we get? Again, life, truth, and love impels mind. That's the word. And if we take in a touch of science, what would science say? Would say, life, truth, and love impels mind to be the only mind. There is no other mind. You get now to the factuality of saying what is and what is not. Yes? So, Well, you put it here. I actually don't know how to write it in. The only, the only mind, dash, there is no other, There is no other. There is no other mind. So you come to the science part of it. Is that clear? If you take spirit, what does the law of life, truth, and love show us about spirit? It says, life, truth, and love impel spirit to be the only spirit, and there is no other spirit. Yes? Life, truth, and love impels soul to be the only soul there is. There is no other soul. Life, truth, and love impels principle to be the only principle. There is no other principle. Can you see that this is science? Science aspect. It's the word of science, not science in its intrinsic nature, because science in its intrinsic nature would have to explain what mind and spirit and soul is. But the word which declares what God is, the science aspect of it would say what God is and what he is not. So you have life, truth, and love impels life to be the only life, and there is no other life. It says that life, truth, and love impels truth to be the only truth. There is no other truth. Life, truth, and love impels love, God, to be the only love, and there is no lovey-dovey. Do you see what I meant when I said right at the beginning of this class, we have to learn to think in categories? And can you see how thinking categories is absolutely creative? It's not something stale. I have shown you from a single law, a very single law, which we had here, that life, truth, and love impels mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. If I have just this law, the way I have just said it, but if I have a categorical consciousness in which I know what mind is and its impact, what spirit is, what soul is, a categorical consciousness in which I know that mind operates not only as the word, but as the Christ and as Christianity and science, and I know that because that's fundamental to the system, I can, with that one simple statement of that law, I can fill a whole book. Do you see that? I can fill a whole book and never deviate from the law. So finally, you can also run through all those four aspects. And for instance, in mind, how we would run through it, we would see now that life, truth, and love impel mind. It impels the manifestation of mind. It impels the right manifestation of mind. And it impels the perfect manifestation of mind. And that is my mind. It impels that mind to be my mind, and impels it in the right way to be my mind, and impels it to be the perfect form of my mind. Yes? Right over there. We go on, Therefore, that life, truth, and love impels my creative intelligence, and impels my true creative sense, and impels my perfect creative sense. And that impels what? It impels now the annihilation of mortal mind. in a right way, in a perfect way, love. Huh? And that impels really that mind to be the only mind, and that only mind has no other mind, has no other mind. And with three arrows here, it has no other mind that can impel anything, no other mind that can do something right, truth, no other mind that can fulfill something, love. Can you see? So you can even go further here, you see, and show it in the three. Yeah? And if you look at it, it's so easy. It's so natural. You just have to stick to the categories and know the categories, and you tell a whole story just about mind. And you can see that the advantage of it is that it covers the whole ground of Christian Science. It covers the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and Science, and therefore in such a contemplation or treatment, we really touch on every aspect, on every argument. And that is the advantage of being able to reason first in laws. And reasoning in laws means reasoning in categories. And if we have the tonality of it, it just flows. Well, that's that. So it is a discipline that we have to impose on ourselves. Now, we could do the very same thing with the other laws of interdependence. Say the law of Christ, where truth, life and love impel what? Impel the Christ order. That they impel principle, life, truth and love, soul, spirit, mind. And could build it the way we have done it here. Or the Christianity law of interdependence, that life and love impel the Christianity order, impel principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth and love. Or to do that what the Gospel of John tells us in a beautiful way, the science order, where truth and love are really that which impel the science order, that impel really soul and life, impel spirit and truth, and impel mind and love, and impel principle. And that's what John showed in the Gospel. But we are not going to do that because I feel without the very very nicely couched and warm and round sense of the tonality of those three categories, it could become rather an intellectual wrestling, and I don't like that, so I better stop here with those laws of interdependence, and therefore I take the rest of this week, tomorrow and Saturday, and I introduce to you something that I have since many years here and there pointed out, namely that question how we could structure the seven synonymous terms, that is, how we could, not the seven synonymous terms, sorry, how we could structure the ideas of the seven synonymous terms. And that we'll do tomorrow and on Saturday.